It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much more. More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more. And it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
Come on.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international pressure.
Come on, man. Come on.
True international pressure.
Come on, man. China is going to eat our lunch. Come on, man.
Not a joke. By the way, all you teachers out there, not that many of you are going to die, so don't worry about it. So don't worry about it. Come on. Because I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Nancy's going to jail. Nancy is going to jail.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nancy is going to jail.
Not a joke.
I don't know what else to say. It's the news, according to me. Good live morning. It is Friday morning, March 3rd. 3-3-2023. That's kind of interesting. 3-3-2023. Friday, March 3rd, 2023. And I am here live with you this morning after that interesting introduction to the show. We have... I might just post all that. I usually play that stuff as people are gathering in the on the listening areas. I just kind of play that stuff ahead of time. And I might just play part of that last segment there. I might record that, dump it on the actual recording, and record it, because I usually just start with the intro part. But this morning we have there's a few things I want to talk about. One is I'm going to go over some of this grilling that happened with Attorney General Merrick Garland. The guy just grates. I know what it is. It's his voice. It's not even his voice. It's the way he talks. I just get creeped out by this guy. There are a few people in this world who. Now, of course, it's amazing to me. Tucker last night kind of stole my thunder on this, because I was talking yesterday about doing something about this guy today, and Tucker last night came out and played some of the clips and talked about how just absolutely disgusting this guy is.
And he absolutely is. I don't know any other way to describe it. It's just, and I think that what it is, there's a whole bunch of psychological stuff going on with this guy. And it comes out in the way he talks. Now, his voice is probably partially it's manifested there. His voice itself probably has, because of the way he talks, probably has become the way it is, just because it's a grating voice. He has this voice that's really hard to listen to. Unless you're a left-wing, bleeding-heart liberal and you're talking to him in his terms. Because when he speaks along those lines and he's speaking from his core philosophies, he talks different, a little bit differently. His voice actually changes a little bit, which ought to tell you something. When he's being grilled with real questions, and what's her name, Maisie Marina, whatever her name is from Hawaii, steps in, he needs to be in the witness protection program. You guys are badgering him. He's just a poor little guy. You're just picking on the poor old man. This poor little old man has an awful lot of power. And the things he's doing with that power are absolutely disgusting. They go against everything that this nation was founded on. Everything. You wouldn't know that by the way he responds back to some of these questions, because it makes it sound, he tries to come across like, I'm trying to answer your question. You won't let me answer your question. No, you're not trying to answer the question at all. It's a yes or no question. It's a question that deserves a yes or no answer. And you're going on with this explanation, passing the buck off onto, this is typical leftist jargon that he's giving us. Now, and we'll go over that stuff. But I have to get to, there's even more important things that I have to talk about this morning. And those more important things are what's in my cup. And more importantly, what kind of cup I have this morning. This little cup I have, I bought these at, I got these at, I'd be walking through Meijer or Walmart or something. I have a tendency to be a, this is hard for me to admit. This is something that's like kind of like, you know, going to an AA meeting. I've never been to one, but I've heard. I am an impulse buyer. That's what I am. Yes. Hello, my name is Kevin, and I am an impulse buyer. I need to go through a group 12-step program. And this was years ago, and I saw these cups, and they were like little plastic. Now, at the time, my wife and I were, this is before she had some dietary issues. Well, she had dietary issues. She didn't know about her dietary issues at the time. Which explained a lot of things. We used to drink a lot of chai, and we used to drink a lot of hot tea and stuff. And I saw these cups, and I thought, it's kind of cool, because it's a little plastic cup. I think it's about a 16 ounce. Is it 16? It's probably not even 16 ounce. See what it is. Does it say on there? Okay. Can you read it? I'll hold it up to the microphone here. See if you can see what that says. I can't see it. Not enough light here in my little darkened rubber room that I padded room that I'm in here. These cups are, they don't have, the only thing that they don't have is like a little, the little cozy thing that you can put around them. I'm gonna have to make something, because you put something hot in these, and they're plastic, and they get really hot, and your fingers will burn if you put boiling hot water in these. The plastic's fine, but it's, wow, does it ever make the outside of the cup hot? And it has these little covers. This little plastic cover that goes on the top. It's like a little sippy cup. So I got these cups. there was like five or six of them in a packet, maybe four. And they were so cheap that I was like, it's like $4 or $3 or something for the whole thing. And I'll just get those. And if I lose one, I'm not too worried about it. And it's not like I've just lost a $20 cup. And I thought I'd get those and we'll put them on the boat or camper or something. We'll do something with these. You know, we'll just have them at the house, whatever. Give them away. Who knows what? I think I got one of them. I think there's four or five of them in the package. Well, of course, the first time I used them, I discovered that the heat just penetrates right through the cup and you can't hardly hold a thing. So we rarely use them. Well, then, of course, later on, my wife doesn't really drink that much chai and stuff anymore, so we have them at the house here. Well, now I put stuff in there. It's the nice thing is it's got this cup that stays on there, or the cover that stays on the cup really well. And it's so if it does happen to dump over, like let's say that just by chance, by some weird freak accident, somehow the cat would dump something over. Not that that would ever happen, with its tail flapping around like crazy and it's, you know, just batting things around in general. You know why we know that the world isn't flat, right? Do you understand? The world is, there's no way that the world is flat. Because if it was flat, cats would have knocked everything off of it already by now. That's how we know. So the cups, which are not flat either, this way, if it gets dumped over, it'll leak. There's no like check valve or anything. There's no way to seal it up, but at least it's not going to leak as fast as just an open cup. So if it does get knocked over. Now, let's dig a little deeper in this subject. What's in my cup? You're going to be amazed this morning at what's in my cup this morning. You're going to be shocked and amazed, probably. You won't believe when I tell you this. You won't even believe it. I don't think you're going to even believe it. I have in my cup this morning water. It's regular old water. Well, not regular old water, I should say. This is probably some of the finest water you're going to find on the planet. We have a reverse osmosis system here in the house, and we use that for our drinking water. And then the reverse osmosis system goes through a final filter, which actually puts in the proper minerals. It doesn't just filter everything out. It puts dirt back in it again. But it's clean dirt. It's proper dirt. It's the right kind of dirt with all the right kind of minerals. And so that's what we have. It has really made a difference. And I got it hooked up in my refrigerator, you know, so we can have an ice maker. The ice maker also has a filter and probably takes out that stuff. Unfortunately, it takes out the stuff that we put back in. So it's this constant exchange of stuff going in and out. The people who are really doing well with this is the filter companies. But the regular one, at the faucet, we also have a little dispenser there where you can just turn a little knob and out comes the filtered water. And it's good stuff. So we use this. We put it in jugs as well, which probably is stupid because we put it in plastic jugs, but we use it for the dogs. We put it in plastic jugs for the dogs so that they have water. When we go camping and that kind of thing, go camping or boating, we reuse the old plastic jugs from old water bottles. The big water bottles. Not the 5 gallon ones, but they're just the 1 gallons. So we reuse some of that kind of stuff. And it works out pretty, it's pretty handy because, you know, you just can fill those up and take them along with you. And you have your good water with you. At least as far as we know. We'll probably find out later on in life that it's, you know, we're killing ourselves, but we don't know that yet. So as long as we don't know about it, we're living in, you know, ignorance is bliss, we like to say. Now, in the process of all this, I have this water. Now, I do have a backup cup this morning because, you know, water may not make it for me the whole hour. This is after all, a live show. I've got to have backup stuff. So I do have my other cup full of sweet tea, which is mostly, actually, believe it or not, Arby's did a good job this time. Stopped off at Arby's yesterday for supper. And we have supper and we have dinner and we have lunch here. We have lunch, dinner, and supper. I'm not sure which one. Dinner is kind of interchangeable with either lunch or supper. I'm not sure which. I don't know what the definitions are. And there's brunch and breakfast. I usually do all 6 meals. I do a breakfast, a brunch, a lunch, a dinner, and a supper. And then I have a night-night snack. Usually composing of ice cream, but because ice cream is one of the major food groups. So I have this sweet tea here, but I went to Arby's last night and, now not all the tea in the cup is, Arby's sweet tea. Some of it, there's actually still a little bit of leftover. I believe there's a little bit of leftover peach mango fusion in there, V8 fusion, but there's also, some of my Milo sweet tea, as well as the Arby's sweet tea. And I was surprised yesterday that the Arby's sweet tea wasn't quite as sweet as I like, but it was actually pretty good. They must have just cleaned the machines. because the bins that they put this tea in, you have to scour those machines once a day. You have to scour them out, or else they get funky. And they don't always do that because they're just kids running the place. They don't know what they're doing. At least that's my theory. If I was the manager, I would say you're going to scour that tea machine every day, and you're going to make a fresh batch every day, twice a day, three times, however many I drink, because I'm the manager, I'm going to drink as much sweet tea as I want. They could probably not even pay me. I could just work for sweet tea, and I'd probably be fine with that. But I don't know. Now, you're going to notice on the live show, if those of you who see the title of the live show, I've got to bring this up because somebody else will if I don't. The title of the live show, it says, Congress grills AG, the Dems don't want Biden. It should be Congress, for those of you who are wondering. It's not Congress. I don't know who Congress is, but Congress probably could drill the AG, whichever one you want to do there, however you want to do that. So I'm 20 minutes into the show and I haven't said a thing yet other than what's in my cup, which is I'm about on par for that. That's about right. Seems about right. Now I have some things here that I want to discuss. This is courtesy of the Blaze News, not the Blaze News, just Blaze News, I think it is. And this is Josh Hawley. I'm going to jump right into this whole thing with AG Garland and everything he's going at after. You know what? I think I'm going to wait on that. First of all, I want to talk about Joe Biden right now. Now, this makes a little more sense now if we can just connect the dots and figure out what's going on here. And my bet is the FBI, I'm sure, probably knows exactly what happened. Now, I want to go back here in time a little bit and talk a little bit about the FBI again. Remember back when Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton were running in the primaries for the 2016 election? This was back in 2015. And Bernie Sanders, Bernie was getting a lot of traction, mostly because Hillary was such a bad candidate. People didn't like her. And Bernie came along with all the stuff that he free college, free this, free that. Everything. Oh, we're going to help these millionaires and billionaires. We got to tax the rich. They could pay for all this. Life just doesn't work that way, Bernie. But that's beside the point. We're not going to get into that whole thing. I'm going to try to control myself from going down that bunny trail there. Because the bunny trail leads to a rabbit hole, and the rabbit hole just goes down into, who knows where. He's running against Hillary at the time, and there are some pretty staunch Bernie supporters within the DNC at this time. The Democratic National Committee. It's called a Democratic National Committee. They are Democrats. Now, the other day, this side trail I do want to go down for a second. Let me put a pin in this whole Bernie thing for a second. The Democrats do not like being called Democrats. Now, apparently the other day, Boebert. Boebert was on the Senate or on the House floor. And was saying, I don't know. I didn't hear this. I just saw the report. I breezed over a headline. I didn't even get into the article at all. But apparently she was called out for saying Democrats. Democrats. She calls them Democrats. Apparently that's what she did, or it was perceived that she said it that way. Democrats. Which I think is... That's the way I'd be saying it. I wouldn't even be saying it that way. I'd be saying Democrats. The Democrats, rats that are Democrats. She apparently was doing this, and she got called out on it. And they didn't like the way she was, the derogatory term she was using. They didn't want to be called Democrats. Well, That's what you are. You're not Democrats. And it's not the Democratic Party. The irony of everything about the Democrat Party, we need to understand. Everything that they say, everything that they do, everything that they accuse others of doing is what they're doing. And it's always the opposite when they do something that sounds good, like a bill that they want to put out there. Lollipops for everyone means everybody gets their lollipops taken away. It's always the opposite when they name something. And it's always them when they accuse somebody else. How could somebody be so irresponsible with, you know, how could that happen? How could he be so irresponsible with classified documents for having them locked up in a guarded facility where the Secret Service is 24/7? How could he be that irresponsible? You know, I'm not that irresponsible. I just put them in my garage next to my Corvette, which is locked. It's locked up, by the way. My garage is locked. Even though you've seen tons of videos, when I go out and drive my Corvette around, I leave the garage door open. Because it's a gated community. And I'm just the vice president. I don't have Secret Service protection 24/7. Oh, by the way, when I was a senator, I got some documents too, which I had no business taking out of the archives. There's no way to do that for a senator, by the way. But that's okay because I'm cooperating fully with the FBI. My lawyers were moving stuff around. They found these documents. This is all lies. Just flat out flagrant lies. His lawyers weren't moving squat. He called his lawyers when his little interns found it. That's what happened. We need to get to the heart of that as well. Because these are just all lies, just filthy lies, in my opinion. I get sickening. Lies that are only there to protect yourself from scrutiny, those are the bad lies. Those are the, when you're lying to protect someone's life, that's one thing. Now somebody comes, some lady comes running past you who's obviously being chased for nefarious reasons. And she goes down, she takes an alleyway, she goes down that way. And this guy comes running by right behind you, right behind her, and finds you and says, "Which way did she go?" And you say, "She went that way." And you point the other direction, and you keep on going. Because you're protecting life. "Well, I cannot tell a lie. She went that way." Oh, good for you. So this is the kind of thing that now, if you're telling a lie to protect yourself from getting in trouble because what you did was illegal, that's the bad kind of lie. That's the false witness kind of thing. We have so getting down this little, that was the little rabbit hole I want to go down the side of. I think I executed that. I think I got my point across that I was trying to get a point. Anyway, so Bernie Sanders, he's giving Hillary a run for her money. And there are some very dedicated, devoted people in the DNC. As they're getting ready for the primaries, they're rolling the primaries out. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she's still a congressperson. How in the world does she get reelected? She was the chairman of the DNC at the time. It was discovered that she was working things out with Hillary to oust Bernie Sanders, to marginalize him. Now, Bernie went along with this whole thing. He found out about what they did. Well, here's why. This is what happens. This is how the game is played, folks. They paid off Bernie with promises that when Hillary gets in, he was going to probably be either moved in as vice president or he was going to have some top office, like transportation secretary or something like that, something like Pete Buttigieg's place. This is how they do this for people. When you're running against them, like Biden came in 2020, and he told Pete Buttigieg and all these other people, look at how many of them are working for the administration now. You know, Tulsi Gabbard isn't, obviously. She was ousted out. Kamala Harris was running against Biden and excoriated him about being a racist on a live debate. Pete Buttigieg played the game. They're all debating against each other, all at each other's throats. And oh, by the way, all of a sudden, Pete Buttigieg becomes transportation secretary. Kamala Harris becomes vice president. And I don't know how many others are in the administration doing things for the administration. You see, because they are all promised these jobs to step aside. Well, you know, if you step aside and you get behind me, I'll make sure you have a prominent place in the administration. That will set you up later for a potential presidential run. You know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, kind of thing. So they take the fall. They do it. I guarantee you, the reason that Bernie did not push back any harder on Hillary Clinton and what happened there, because it was a flagrant shutdown of Bernie's campaign. The DNC was working against Bernie. They didn't care who the people wanted. They had decided, the DNC had decided who they were going to have as their nominee, and by golly, the people weren't going to decide it. They didn't care about what the primaries, you know, were going to look like. They had to do whatever they could to get Bernie, keep Bernie out. Because Hillary's power was more important. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz did not want to commit suicide by being hung in a tree and shot in the chest several times. Which happened recently, by the way. They've determined now that this one suicide was a prominent Clinton supporter who was tied up in a tree, or to a tree, I'm not sure which way. My understanding was they were hung from a tree. Found hanging from a tree. Two gunshots to the chest. They could not find the gun. That's some pretty creative suicidal. And in Arkansas, there's a law, by the way. In Arkansas, there's a law. If the local authorities show up and say, this is a suicide, there is no further investigation. It is closed. The authorities have that power. Something else that goes on in Arkansas, and this is anybody you talk to in Arkansas who's honest with you, you have to have a lawyer friend in Arkansas because there is a lawyer mafia there. This happens in many states, but it's not, I don't know of any state that it's more prominent than Arkansas. I'm sure it is in Washington as well, or in the Virginia area probably too, but in Arkansas, it is well known. I spent some time doing some work down in Texarkana in the 90s. I had a flying job down there for a few weeks. I would go back and forth and fly this airplane around for them. Well, yeah, that's everybody told me. They were like, yeah, this is the way it works, and this is how the whole system. They explained it all made sense. They explained the whole thing, how the lawyers have a grip on all the power down there. And if you want to get along in life in Arkansas, you have to have a lawyer, and they have to be your friend. That's how people rise to the top down there. Well, Hillary and Bill were both lawyers. Yeah, so all this stuff happens. Well, then Hillary, they get Bernie out. All this was discovered when this happened, when they ousted Bernie, basically, when it was discovered that they were going against Bernie and conspiring against Bernie, from the head of the DNC. Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to step down. She had to resign. I mean, this wasn't just a conspiracy theory. This wasn't just some kind of made up speculation. She stepped down because of this whole thing. She got that much trouble with the DNC for doing it. Then we find out the DNC servers were hacked. Because these emails, the way this was discovered was that these emails in the DNC server were exposed. They were dumped to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks didn't hack the DNC server. They were given these files. All of the metadata on these files was obviously did not come from an internet hack. It came from a direct download to a thumb drive or some kind of a hard drive off of the DNC servers. Servers, for those of you who don't know, are just basically their routers that are, they also have a high capacity of storage. That's what a server is. And they're usually mirrored so that they download to both. They mirror everything that's on one is on another. So that way, if one fails, there's always something else. And usually you have the servers in different locations so that if things go down in one area, like let's say the power goes out in Texas where there's an ice storm because the windmills can't keep up. All of a sudden those servers go down. You have servers someplace in, say, Minnesota where the weather's always perfect. By the way, Arizona is an area where they have a lot of servers because of this. Because the weather is usually 364 days a year, it's just sunny and 80 degrees or 107 degrees, whatever it is. So this is what they do. They might put several servers around the country so that they have a backup all the time. This is happening constantly. All their data and information is going on these servers. And that's why you can access and get bandwidth. It's bandwidth. It's just a big technical thing. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a computer scientist. Apparently, neither is Bill Gates anymore. He's now a virologist, apparently, now. So Bill and Hillary, so Hillary, these emails were leaked to WikiLeaks via a direct download. Someone was physically there at the server and downloaded all these emails and then gave them to WikiLeaks. This is how it was all discovered. Bernie Sanders finds out about it. Now he's got leverage. And I guarantee you, they all thought Hillary was going to win. There was no doubt because they wanted Donald Trump to run because they thought he was a doofus that nobody would vote for. They just thought he was a clown. They underestimated how bad of a candidate Hillary was. So it ends up, this happens. Well, they go to the FBI. The DNC goes to the FBI and says, we need to figure out who did this. Now, they have people on the inside of the FBI. Hillary knows who to talk to at the FBI. The FBI comes and says, well, we need the servers. The DNC knows better than to give them the servers. Hunter Biden doesn't know any better. They didn't take the servers to a facility to have them checked out. They had another facility. They had a place called CrowdStrike come to take a look at these servers. CrowdStrike, without even really looking at them, all they said was right off the bat, they just said, looks like Russian. It was a Russian hack job. Pretty sure it was Russians. Has all the earmarks. They didn't use the term earmarks, but right away they blamed it on the Russians. Now, keep in mind, Hillary Clinton is paying these people to come in and look at their servers. The FBI did not look at the DNC servers. The FBI did not even hire CrowdStrike. The DNC, via Hillary Clinton, hired CrowdStrike to come look at the servers. This is all documented. This is all this information is known fact. It was all reported on. It was all documented facts. Not some conspiracy theory. This is the way it happened. And this is the FBI's report. They never, never had the DNC servers in their possession. And even if they would have had, surprisingly enough, the FBI says, well, we have all these people who can look at all these things. I just heard Christopher Wray the other day said something about, oh, we have all these, you know, these there's resources where we can look at, you know, all kinds of biological, you know, things. We have doctors and all these. No, they don't. Actually, they don't. They have contracted labs that they use. They don't have FBI agents working in a lab. They have labs that they hire by contract. This is, but this is not the perception that they want the public to have. They don't want the public to know that. Well, it's just like they're working for the FBI because they're working for us. It's a contracted lab. It's an independent lab. A lot of the forensic stuff that they do is all done by contract. So you have to wonder, you know, where all this money's going. This is how they funnel money around, by the way, too, the budget stuff. So this all happens, and Bernie Sanders just sits on his hands. All of a sudden, he's okay with it. He just sits on his hands, doesn't say anything, because he's been promised a place in Hillary's administration. I guarantee you he was. Well, then Hillary didn't win. Who was one of the guys that came out more every time he made a speech? He would say, Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump is a racist. That's all you heard him say. He's a racist. I know recently Lori Lightfoot just lost the Chicago mayoral primary. She said the actual election. She didn't even make it in the top three. Top two, I guess. She's not even in a runoff. She's out. Two other people. And she's only had one term. This has never happened in Chicago, by the way. Might have happened back in the about 40 years ago. I think it happened. They elected a Republican mayor for about one term, I think, back then. The problem with the Republican mayor is everybody there in the whole administration and the whole system is all designed to be Democrat. You can't function in Chicago. You'd have to fire everybody. The whole place, the whole administration, all the council, town, everybody there is, it's all leftist. You can't function there as a Republican. I mean, Blagojevich would attest to that. And he's a Democrat. He's a Trumpocrat, but it's interesting stuff. Anyway, so what they don't tell you about this whole thing is they covered this whole thing up, and the FBI sat on it, didn't do anything. Much like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. They love gathering this information up and using it as leverage later. They know that, hey, this might be leverage later. Let's just keep all this information. We're just going to sit on it for now. We can use this later. So now, all of a sudden, Joe Biden, we start finding classified documents in Joe Biden's home, in his office, place where he was supposedly a professor for 4 years. He was not a professor for 4 years, by the way. He came in and did a speech once a year, and he got tons of money from the Chinese for that. So this is all happening. And why would it even come out? How would this get exposed like this and end up in the media? Well, little known to most of the population, behind the scenes now it has come out. A couple of Democrats have outed a whole bunch of other Democrats, saying there are hundreds of Democrats in the Congress and in prominent places within the party. Hundreds. That do not want Joe Biden to run again. In fact, they want him to step down now. They're done with him now. Let alone run again. They have got to get this guy out of the running. Especially, they're especially scared of Donald Trump. The establishment itself right now is incredibly scared of Donald Trump. Why would the Republican establishment be pushing back against the guy so hard? That's really a question we need to ask. What is it about him that they don't like? It's all this self-righteous indignation crap. Now, the reason I brought up Lori Lightfoot, just to give you some example here, they all came out and said that Donald Trump was a vulgar, racist, misogynist, vile pig. De Niro comes out on stage, waddles out there, old man. I think the guy's a great actor. No doubt he has good skills as an actor. He just needs to stay out of politics. Raises up his fists, says, F Trump. That's all he says. Gets this practically a standing ovation. And he says it again. Yeah. That's brilliant. Brilliant. That's some serious philosophical rally cry stuff there, boy. I tell you, really got a brilliant mind on your head, in your head there. I wonder how long it took him to write that. Probably pondered for weeks coming up with that line. It's brilliant. And then on record. Now, I never heard Trump in an official capacity of any kind say vulgar things, as vulgar of things. I mean, sometimes he would use explorative. I talk for a living. They would use these things. He would say things that were edgy, to say the least. He would cuss once in a while. I could play things. I won't even play them on the show. Some of the things that Lori Lightfoot said publicly, on the record, behind a microphone, as in her speech, that were so vulgar, I won't even play them on this show. In fact, you wouldn't even be able to play them on regular television without getting in trouble with the FCC. But she's the first one to stand up and say how vulgar and vile, how disgusting Donald Trump is. Now, you may think Donald Trump is disgusting, but if you're going to say that, fine. But if you're going to support Lori Lightfoot and look past all the things she has said over and over again, then yes, you are a blatant hypocrite. And I know that doesn't matter to you if you're a leftist, but that, I'm going to call you out on it anyway. Because she has said some very filthy and disgusting things. I would be ashamed to be in her administration with her saying the things she said. I would certainly cover my child's ears if I had children listening. It's just that's the kind of double standard stuff that I cannot stand. And it is rampant on the left. It is on the right as well, but it is rampantly on the left. So right now there are hundreds of people who do not want Biden to run again, which now explains why all of a sudden we're discovering classified documents hanging around Joe Biden's stuff and why there's actually an investigation going on. So Merrick Garland is now in this interesting place where he's got to decide whose side he's on here. And they have to play this out politically. And I guarantee you there are back channels to Merrick Garland and everything that's going on there. Now, I want to get into what Josh Hawley said. We don't have a whole lot of time left here, but I want to get into what Josh Hawley said. I want to play this in real time. I usually play things in like quarter, 25% faster than normal just to get it through, so you don't have to listen through the whole thing. But it's very important that we listen to Garland, actually what he's saying and how he answers these questions in real time. Because it's what he's saying and how he's saying it that I want to analyze and kind of show you, give you an idea of why this kind of thing really bothers me, and it should bother everyone. So I'm going to play some things here that I have. Hopefully this comes across okay. These are on my phone, and this is Josh Hawley. This is courtesy of Blaze News. It's about 8 minutes of stuff. I might have to pause it occasionally. I'm not sure exactly what all is on here, because I haven't listened to the whole thing yet. I listened to part of it. I think it's just mostly clips from Josh Hawley interviewing. Now, there's, you know, Ted Cruz, Grassley, Hawley. I believe that even, believe it or not, even Lindsey Graham said some things. I don't, you know, Lindsey Graham's just a weasel. He's the opposite kind of weasel. He's the same weasel on the different end of the same weasel as Garland, in my opinion. Lindsey Graham is a tool. He's a Republican establishment tool, and he's just very good at playing the game. Been around forever. Wonders why government's in a mess. Why is the government a mess? Well, it's because you've been running the show there for 40 years. You've been involved for 40 years. Why are things the same as they are? Get this new crowd in there, like Hawley and Jordan and some of these other people who are actually throwing a fit. So let's take a listen here for a moment. I hope this audio is going to be okay. I'm just going to kind of jump in a part of this. And it cuts around a little bit in a couple of places. And it's not edited to make it sound. I want you to listen to the way he talks.
Abdicating responsibility?
I'm not abdicating responsibility.
Then give me the answer. Do you think, in your opinion, you are the Attorney General of the United States? You are in charge of the Justice Department. And yes, sir, you are responsible. Yeah. So give me an answer.
Attorney General Garland, let me just ask you, does your department have a problem with anti-Catholic bias?
Our department protects all religions.
As we're going through this, I want you to listen to the stammering, stuff that happens here. This is very telling about this guy, and I'll explain it all more later on as we get through this. But be cognizant here, be aware of how much he does this. And you'll hear Karine Jean-Pierre do the same thing when she's answering questions that she doesn't want to answer. She's making things up on the fly. She's trying to formulate an answer in her mind, and she's stalling. This is exactly what Merrick Garland's doing here. And he knew these questions were coming, so he even was halfway prepared, but he's not prepared for these because he's lying and he knows it, and he's trying to keep himself from lying. He doesn't want to lie, but he has to lie. He's trying to be very careful with the web he's weaving here.
And all ideologies, it does not have any bias against any religion of any kind.
Well, you could have surprised me, because given the resources...
Listen to Josh Hawley
speak.
How many times is he saying and? He doesn't do that. He's on point. He has a point in his heart. He knows what he's saying in his mind, and he's coherent, and he's going to speak it. Much like I'm speaking this morning. How many times do you hear me going, no, it doesn't. When you know what you're going to say, it just comes out. When you have a conviction in your heart about what you're speaking and the answer that you're giving, you're not going to stammer around about it. This is very telling with this guy.
Spending and the apparently intelligence assets that you are deploying against Catholics, it appears, and other people of faith, while simultaneously turning a blind eye while people are executed gang style in the streets of our cities, including in my home state, your answer frankly surprises me. Let's talk about the Mark Haupt case, for example. You've been asked about this already today, and frankly, your answers really astound me. This is a case where a Catholic pro-life demonstrator, father, was accused of disorderly conduct in front of an abortion center. The local prosecutor, the Philadelphia district attorney, who is a Democrat, a liberal, very progressive, declined to prosecute. There was a private suit that got dismissed. And then after all of that, your Justice Department sent between 20 and 30 armed agents in the early morning hours to the Houck's private residence to arrest this guy. After he had offered to turn himself in voluntarily. Here's the photo. Once again, you can see the long guns. You can see the ballistic shields. You can see that they're wearing bulletproof
vests. He's showing him photos of the actual event, by the way.
Why did the Justice Department do this? Why did you send 20 to 30 SWAT-style agents and a SWAT-style team to this guy's house when everybody else had declined to prosecute and he'd offered to turn himself in?
Determinations of how to make arrests under arrest warrants are made based by the tactical operators in the district. They are not.
But you surely looked into it by this point, right? You know the answer, surely.
All I know is what the FBI has said, which is that they made decisions on the ground as to what was safest and easiest.
So
you do not agree with your description of what happened on the scene.
You don't agree with my description?
He doesn't agree with his description. He agrees only with what the FBI told him. The FBI told me this. I don't agree with your description, even though you've got pictures of what happened there. This is that whole thing of, well, I left it to the professionals. They're the professionals. I left it up to them. No, the point here is, I think Josh makes this at some point. The point is, they didn't do what your directive says. His directive was, don't use any more force than is necessary. They came in with maximum force. A guy with a family of 7 kids, ready to knock the door down, by the way. They had their battering ram. They just didn't get to that point. All of them clad with long guns and body armor. Pointing their guns at the kids, pointing their guns at the house. Kids terrified. And there was no repercussion from this. Merrick Garland did not give them any kind of chastisement or anything. All he says, oh, well, that's your description of what happened, then that's, you know, good job. Hey, thumbs up. Good job, buddies. Way to go. Rah, rah, rah. Thanks for scaring. Make an example of those people. Because here's what this guy was guilty of. They were at an abortion clinic. And the guy, what ended up happening, they were just there praying on the street, on the sidewalk where they were legally allowed to be. An abortionist came up. One of the choice people, pro-choice people. They call themselves pro-choice and the anti-choice. That's what you'll hear the left call them. They're not pro-life. They're anti-choice. One of the pro-choice people came up, the anti-life people, by the way, came up and was getting in his son's face. And he was basically talking, but he was also spitting on the guy. You get this guy's whole full story. It's obvious that he was really, really in this guy's space, in this kid's space. And the kid didn't know what to do. He was getting scared. The father pushed him away from his son. That's what he's being charged with, which is at the very most, it's a misdemeanor. In Indiana, this would be called standing your ground and defending your space. But where this guy was, apparently they didn't look at, well, the prosecutor didn't look at it this way. When he was hauled off to jail, by the way. And Josh gets into this more. We'll listen to this because he tells the whole story.
Pointing out what the photo is, there are agents here who have long guns and ballistic shields. Let's take a look at the hardened criminals that your Justice Department sent these armed agents to go terrorize on that morning. Here they are. Here they are at mass. Here's the 7 children with Mr. Houck and his wife. In this early morning, they were all at home. Mrs. Houck has said repeatedly, the children were screaming. They feared for their lives. You got these agents demanding that he come out. They've got the gun, she said, pointing at the house and at them. He has offered to turn himself in. And this is who you go to terrorize. What's really interesting to me is this seems to directly contradict your own memorandum about the use of force at the Justice Department. You say officers may use only the force that is objectively reasonable to effectively control an incident. Are you telling me that in your opinion as Attorney General, it was objectively necessary to use 20 or 30 SWAT-style agents with long guns and ballistic shields for these people?
What I'm saying is that decisions about how to go about this were made on the ground by FBI agents.
So you're saying you don't know?
I'm saying what I just said.
He continues to repeat himself because this is a prepared statement.
Then give me the answer. Do you think, in your opinion, you are the Attorney
yes
General
no?
of the United States,
You are in charge of the Justice Department. And yes, sir, you are responsible. So give me an answer.
The FBI does not agree with your description.
I'm not asking about the FBI. You are the Attorney General. Give me your answer. Do you think that it was objectively reasonable and they followed your guidelines in sending 20 to 30 armed agents to terrorize these people? Yes or no?
The facts I have, which are those presented by the FBI, are not consistent with your description.
So you think it was?
They're not consistent with your description and your pictures of the event. And there's video of this thing as well. There's also video footage of this. And you know that the FBI has body cams as well, but they won't release. This is not consistent with what the FBI told me. Oh, so you just see, this is the problem we have with the FBI right now, is that they can do no wrong. This is like when they were told about, when there was this mention about investigating the investigators, and James Comey was like, you're going to investigate the investigators? How ridiculous. Because, you know, their poop doesn't stink. That's basically what they think. It's basically their mentality. Well, how dare you think that the FBI would be somehow, you know, it's not beyond reproach. It's just
reasonable.
I'm saying the facts are not as you describe.
Facts are not as you describe.
Weren't there? That there wasn't? That there weren't long guns?
Yeah. What,
there,
what
that
facts?
There agents? What
he gets into this.
What do you dispute?
What exactly? What facts are you talking about?
The FBI said they don't agree with your description of.
Be specific. They don't agree with what?
Of how many agents, of the agents who were there, and of what their roles were. They don't agree.
Do you know the jury in this case acquitted Mr.
This
Houck?
This is the clincher.
I'm sure you're aware. Do you know how long it took him?
I am aware, and we respect the decision of the jury.
Do you know how long it took him?
I don't know.
1 hour.
Now, I want to talk about that a little bit.
Philadelphia did.
1 hour means that they weren't even actually in session for more than 30 minutes. There are preliminary things. When they go back into that room, from the time they are released to go back into their chambers to come out with a verdict, how much time do you think they actually spent deliberating on this? Because that's the time it took when they were released to go to chambers and when they came back with a verdict. They probably spent 15 minutes openly talking about this, having an open discussion about this. And they came back with an absolute, they dropped the whole thing.
Attorney declines to prosecute. The private suit's dismissed. You use an unbelievable show of force with guns that I just note liberals usually decry. We're supposed to hate long guns and assault-style weapons. You're happy to deploy them against Catholics and innocent children. Happy to. And then you haul him into court and a jury acquits him in 1 hour. I just suggest to you that is a disgraceful performance by your Justice Department and a disgraceful use of resources. I notice a pattern, though. The FBI field office in Richmond on the 23rd of January of this year issued a memorandum in which they advocated for, and I quote, the exploration of new avenues for tripwire and source development against traditionalist Catholics, it's their language, including those who favor the Latin Mass. Attorney General, are you cultivating sources and spies in Latin Mass parishes and other Catholic parishes around the country?
No, the Justice Department does not do that. It does not do investigations based on religion. I saw the document you have.
What did you do about it?
It's appalling. It's appalling. I'm in complete agreement with you. I understand that the FBI has withdrawn it and it's now looking into how this.
But they haven't withdrawn it.
How did it happen?
That's what they're looking into. But I'm totally in agreement with you. That document is appalling.
I'll tell you how it happened. This memorandum, which is supposed to be intelligence,
he's drinking water
now. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which goes on to identify all of these different Catholics as being part of hate groups. Is this how the FBI, under your direction and leadership, is this how they do their intelligence work? They look at left-wing advocacy.
I don't know how it happens, but it's being looked into. It's being looked into by the FBI, by the agency that did it. Oh, what do you think they're going to find? Well, we've investigated ourselves, and we can't find out if we did anything wrong. I think next time the cops show up at my house, not that they ever have, or that they ever, I remember planning them to be. But if I ever get in trouble, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, well, sir, I've done an investigation on myself, and I've determined that I didn't do anything wrong. Internal affairs, or whatever it is. These people are corrupt to the gills. Well, the Department of Justice doesn't do that. Well, it did. What are you doing about it? Now, I don't know if the FBI falls under the technical DOJ's purview, but they certainly, most certainly, have him to blame for all this. They are grilling him now. This is just one of the individuals. Ted Cruz did an awesome job as well of planting some very important questions, and I just don't have time to get into all that. Some very serious questions to this guy. Now, one of the other things that I want to mention along with this whole thing was the whole thing with the treaties. I don't have much time to talk about this, but this is a serious thing that happens. Is the Paris Accord. We talk about the Paris Accord or the such and such accords, whatever the accords are, they call them these, they have other names for things as well. They don't call them treaties. The Paris Accord is a treaty. It is an agreement that we will do certain things to align with other governments. It is an external government agreement. It is a treaty. Treaties, by definition, have to be ratified by the Senate. And you have to have 2/3 of the Senate to do that. The way they're trying to get around this thing is by calling it an accord. So we're all in one accord. Well, it is illegal. It is an external government imposition on us. And that is illegal, unconstitutional. And they're still doing it by calling it an accord. We're going to get back in the Paris Accords or whatever thing it is right now. Now, there are finally some senators speaking up about this, saying, whoa, just a minute here. This is a treaty and has to be run by the Senate in order to be ratified. And it's not being done. And frankly, I think it's a blatant, and flagrant. Yes, not fragrant. Fragrant is what I am. I won't talk about what kind of fragrance. Fragrance implies that it's a nice smell, but I'm not gonna go down that definition road right now because it's early in the morning. Well, it's not that early. It's almost 10 o'clock now. Wow, this time has just flown by. Folks, once again, it is Friday. You know, hope that you have a great weekend, whatever you're doing, whether you're working or with your family or whatever you're doing this weekend. I hope you have an awesome time. I want to thank those who are in the room listening right now. I think there's about, this looks like, Podbean alone has about 4 people in it. And appreciate that. Appreciate the likes, little hearts that popped up over there. And if whatever platform you're listening to this thing on, whether it's Spotify or wherever else it is you're listening, this will be recorded and posted later. So if you missed it, didn't get the live show, you will be on it. I noticed that John from Time to Talk Christian didn't show up today. I was going to hopefully have him on this morning, but he didn't show up. Next week, it looks like I will be live again on Friday. I should be home on Friday, if all goes well. Now, in the process of that, I also want to say I may actually have video next week because I'm going to have my better router, my higher speed stuff. So, folks, God bless. Pray for your nation. Pray for our nation and each other, our leaders especially. Have a great weekend.